If you have a Bible with you this morning, you might want to turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 11. I want to talk about, this is the last time I'm going to mention soul rest, although I believe it's an important thought, how to rest in Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. So I won't give you burnout, I'll give you rest. And so, I'm suggesting here today, that unless you have a solid, really solid understanding of the sovereignty of God, you will be tossed to and fro by everything. There's something about sovereignty, and that's, in my mind, very crucial to our growth in Christ. So let me read Romans chapter 11, verse 33 to verse 36. This is a song, by the way. It's actually, I think we've sung it here. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Wow. Here's a question. How can we continue to trust in a truly sovereign God when there's two things going on all the time? One, when there is so much goodness and blessing in the world, and there is. There's many wonderful blessings. And at the same time, there is such a horrible amount of things happening in our world. How do we, what do we do with that? How do we bring that together? On the one hand, we see the goodness of God, and on the other hand, we see the severity of God. We see what God can do, and yet he doesn't seem to change things. Of babies dying, situations, just, I don't need to go through it. You get it all the time on the television. Just endless horror stories. And yet God is still on the throne. And I think this is the one thing that I must live forever, that God is always on the throne. He never steps off the throne. He's always on the throne. And because he's on the throne, I mean, I remember the old timers years ago, this tragedy would happen, and that heartache and that horror story. And, some of the younger ones were kind of wringing our hands. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And these old guys would say, God is still on the throne, brother. God is still on the throne. But it didn't seem like he's on the throne. Are you with me? Well, it didn't seem like it. I can take it by faith, but it didn't seem like it. You see, the Bible makes it very clear that there's no limitation to the Father's sovereign power. He does whatever he pleases. And no one can limit or question what he does. For example, Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 1. This is one of my favorite verses. Because see, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And he turns it, whithersoever he will, like a watercourse. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. He doesn't even know it. He doesn't even know it. That God, you know, when you go for a job interview, I find this particularly helpful. I tell people this. Listen, before you go in for that job interview, make sure you claim that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. In other words, God can give favor. He can turn. He can do anything. He can turn that situation into a really wonderful win. Or that door can close. God has that kind of power and strength. So when we think of that, we think nothing limits him. Even things, by the way, even things that we would consider random are under the sovereign determination of the Father. Proverbs 16 and verse 33, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Every decision is from the Lord. And then turn with me, if you would, to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 4, is so amazingly wonderful. Daniel chapter 4. I can break in almost anywhere, but I'll just read verse 35. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. And he does according to his will among the host of heaven, on earth and in heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? No one can question that. You see, Acts 17, well, just you know that passage, but maybe it'd be worthwhile turning to Acts 17. I can break in. I'll just break in at verse 24. The God who made the world and everything in it, I love this little side, and everything in it, being the Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything. Since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind who lives on the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from any one of us, for in him we live and we move and we have our very being, all because God rules and reigns. He determined where we would live. He determined beforehand what your nationality would be. He knew what tribes you would come from. He knew the direction you came. He knew what your family would be about. He knows all of these things. He said, because he gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. He's the sovereign God. All power is his. All strength is his. It's amazing when you think of it. So most of us, and here's our problem of why it's very hard for some to rest in the Lord and have soul rest. Most of us believe God can move mountains. But how many of us believe that he will? We believe that God can work mightily on our behalf, but are we really sure that he will? Someone was asking me about if they should pray for a spouse. And I said, sure, pray for your spouse. Well, how do I know God's going to answer that prayer? I said, he's sovereign God. But how do I know for sure? Well, there's people I know that wish they wouldn't have prayed for their spouse, but that's another story. You see, the question is that we believe that God can, but will God? God's strength is impressive. God's wisdom is unfathomable. God's rule is sovereign. Despite us knowing God's sovereign strength, yet we remain strongly anxious. Oh, more than that even. Strangely anxious. We worry, we doubt, yet God would tell us, as he would tell us here this morning, whatever you're going through, whatever you're waiting on the Lord about, that God would tell us to be still before me. Be still before me. Wait patiently. Trust in me, and I will give you rest. That's the promise that he has for us. You see, we know that God is out there, and that he sees, and that he cares. But we're still tempted to run our lives somewhat independently. Well, matter of fact, very much independently. Often consulting him only for the crises, the emergency crises. I become very popular when there's a crisis in somebody's life. Not, you say, I've got to go see the pastor. And I don't know why they think that's going to be one bit better than anything else, but never say, go see the pastor. Why? Because there's a crisis. And then after we pray and tell them that the world, God is still on the throne, God is sovereign in your situation, he's got everything under control, he's got everything under control, and you need not worry. Well, how can I be sure? And this way we go again, hour after hour, trying to convince them that God is a good God who can be trusted, even though we don't know all that he's going to do. He does it according to his own decisions. So, trivialities, just little trivial things, that God would say to us, don't you know that I care about you? I care about you more than 10 million galaxies. That I work in your life on 1,000 levels all at the same time. I believe that. I'll say that again. That God says, I work in your life on 1,000 levels all at the same time. Your past, your present, your future, all the things that are going on and where you're going to fit into it, what shape that's going to be, God's just working. He's at work. He's always at work. And our job is to trust the sovereign God who's capable of looking after me. And I must believe that. I must believe that God is capable of looking after me and looking after you. It's the same for all of us. Psalm 107, another time you might wonder, read through some of those wonderful things about what this God that can do all of these beautiful things. Psalm 107, verse 18 to verse 22. And then for your homework assignment, that you would read Psalm 148, Psalm 149, and Psalm 150. So just read those three chapters because they're all about praise the Lord, for he's made the sun and the moon and the stars. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That's the position of the believer. We're praising the Lord. We don't know entirely what God will do, but we know he's a sovereign God. He can do it all. And we're believing him that he can work in my life, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So I think our problem, if I think about it, how I view it in my own life, I think our problem is not a deficiency on God's part, but rather a dimness on ours. It was the dimness. That's a very, very good word. A common prayer, a healthy prayer would be this: Lord, take the dimness of my soul away. The dimness. See, only after we've been delivered from dimness can we rest on a full awareness of his dominion, that God has got everything under control. So turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians is a very, somebody's going to be studying Corinthians, so they'll come across this all in due time. Here it is. Verse 9. For we know in part. Remember this important verse. We know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfection comes, which is coming, when the perfection comes, the partial will pass away. And when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, a reason like a child. But when I became a man, Paul says, I gave up childish ways. For now, right now, when you think of this, right now, we see in a mirror dimly. But then, face to face. Face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. This whole thing, by the way, it says, I speak, just as a personal note, I speak in tongues every day as part of my devotional thing that I do throughout the day, but I know it's going to pass away. How do I know? Because Paul tells us it's going to pass away. He says, knowledge is going to pass away. There's all kinds of things that are going to pass away. They won't be necessary. They won't be needed. So now we see but a poor reflection. Then we see face to face. The point is, I don't know why that child died. I don't know why that didn't work out in that house fire. I don't know those things. I don't know why that person perished in an airplane crash, and the person who was supposed to take that flight, they were going to take that flight, that was their flight, and they didn't get on. He says, how does that work? I don't know. And if you think you know, you don't know. But we go through our lives anxiously. We just don't know these things. I'm not sure why that happens. I can, you know, we have all kinds of blame we can put. Well, they didn't have enough faith, or well, they didn't have this, or they should have done that. And that's all very good, but it doesn't answer as to why God didn't stop that. And why he allowed that. Why, you know, he not only just stopped there, but he blessed that situation. How is that possible? I don't know. And you don't know either. We see through a glass darkly. And he's trying to tell us something that you just can't figure it all out. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. There's a great revelation coming. And it will come. He said, it's coming. But it's not coming right today. And so we go through life, this dimness, not sure, trusting the Lord, seeing his goodness over and over and over and over and over again in my own life. Things that I've been spared from and blessings in my life that I, and it's not because I deserved any of it. It's not that. It's just God in his sovereignty. He decided to move. He decided to work this out. And you know, in a way, it kind of drives you crazy. God, why are you doing the way you're doing it? And there's just a silence. He doesn't tell us that. But as we see more clearly, as this glass darkly, this lightens us, and it often shows us the understanding of the greatness of God, and our faith deepens because of that. Just trusting him that he's able to bring us out, and therefore if he's able to bring us out, he's able to bring us in. Into that situation. And in the end, sovereignty wins. I can remember at Bible school especially, and Jonathan, you'll remember because you've been at Bible school more recently, is that in the debates in the dormitory or in the lounge, as sovereignty and election, sovereignty, right? Sovereignty and election, and everyone, oh no, it's not that, it's this, oh no, it's that, this, it's not, and the point of it is we didn't have a clue. We had some interesting arguments, and we were able to silence each other once in a while, but the point of it was we didn't know what we were talking about. And the minute, 5 minutes after they graduated, they didn't either. They knew it theoretically, but and because they just can't explain why that worked out the way it worked out. And so, in the end, sovereignty wins. In the end, glory will be unrestrained. And so, come unto me, Jesus says, I'll give you rest for your soul in the midst of all the things that go on. But this unrestrained glory that will come. And finally, at long last, God will deliver us from our dimness. And we're going to see. And we'll experience the soul rest that Jesus has promised us. He's promised that rest that we can have. And I thank him and I praise him for that. That I would take, I'd claim his peace in the midst of turmoil and trouble. And you know, he tells us we're not supposed to worry. You look at the newspaper, you say, boy, is there ever a lot of strange and odd things? Yes, there are. Unusual things, perhaps. And yet, fear not. In the midst of that, he tells us not to fear. It's no more danger living today than it was 100 years ago. It's just different things. Just different things. And it will always be that way. And so, I would suggest three things as I'll just shorten this a little bit here today. That whenever we study to master the specifics of God's power. Take note of things. When you're reading your Bible where it says, and God who made the heavens and the earth, wow, underline that. When you come across things like that, you will begin to see the specifics. Clothe yourself in what a sovereign God can do. Read the Word. Get the Word of God in your heart. That somebody says, well, it's a pretty dangerous world. Yes, it's a pretty dangerous world. We're able to say, and you're able to come back with a verse that says, but the Lord made it all. He's watching over it. We will see. The day will come when we will see how this all works out. So the value of that is I have found that I'm underlining key verses that really I find comforting. And it's about the God who's got everything in his hand. And we will not worry. We will not fret. We will not stress. And secondly, pray that God would reveal himself to you and to me on a more profound level. Lord, reveal that to me. and thus deepen your faith. Your faith should go deeper during this time of uncertainty. It should be deeper. And if it's not, if I'm just worrying, then when I miss the point of it, of all that God's doing. And there's somebody said this first, it wasn't me, but they said, oh, that we might learn the undefeatability of God. He can never be defeated. And it may look like I find myself saying, arise, O God, arise, O God, let your enemies be scattered. That's a powerful prayer, by the way. Lord, let your enemies be scattered. Show us your power. Summon your power, O God, as the psalmist said. Summon your power. Lord, I thank you. You are the mighty God. You're the great one. You're the famous one. I read that. I've been praying that for a few years now, that he said the famous, the God of renown. And you underline that. Why? Because that will fortify me. If I fill my heart with newspaper articles, I'm going to be just up and down and around and sideways and worried and fretting. But when I say, Lord, you are the God of renown. You have never failed. You never will fail. You cannot fail. And you are never wrong and you're never off. Ever. You get that clear in your heart and your mind. God is never wrong. And if he's wrong, it's you that's wrong. That's who he is. He can't be wrong. He's the sovereign God. And we are to bathe yourself in all the truths about his ability, about his wisdom, about his insight. And then you'll find yourself strangely comforted. It's a wonderful thing how it happens, because that's who he is. That's exactly who he is. And how we marvel at his goodness and his greatness. So we've got just a couple of minutes, but I thought maybe I would just get some feedback. In the light of all the things that are going on, what insights have you received just regarding the sovereignty? I'm not talking about the doctrines. There's lots of, just that reality of the Lord. Somebody like to just share something. You know, if you go to Europe, you see the graveyards, dead by the Black Plague, run over by a horse. Like, there was all kinds of, we kind of make it think these are unique. This is not unique. Every generation has had things like that. Imagine the plague coming and killing everybody. And they'd have 10 children because they wanted to make sure there were some children to have that they could, could raise. Really difficult times at every age. That was before there was telephones or computers or anything. It was problems they face. And the same answer, though, what Lance is saying, it's the same answer. Somebody else? Yes. try that again.
Yeah. But it's realizing that I'm thinking that instead of going straight to fight
I remember thinking that if God wants you alive, nothing can take your life. Nothing. And if God wants you in heaven, there is nothing you can do to stop that. Absolutely nothing. We know how much power we've got in this whole thing, about that much. It's just the truth, that, isn't it? Just that God, if it's my time to go, then not much else I can do but praise the Lord. But you don't want to let that turn into a fear thing. Oh, I'm afraid now. No, fear is the one thing that we must come against. And that's why you must know the scriptures of the sovereignty of God, on his strength. Somebody else. And we'll change the order. You hear that? Lack of answer is his answer. Yes. Yeah. Good, Brian. Good. One more. Loud, though. Raise your voice loud.
When I had a real crisis in my life, a scripture verse came to me, and it says, "Thou wilt keep them in perfect peace, whose mind has stayed on thee, for he trusted me." So whenever some negative thought came to my mind, I forced myself to think about Jesus. And, all the troubles that I have maybe in this world might be because the Lord is coming. And
yes. Best sense.
So we should be prepared. The Lord is coming back. And when he does come back, he comes back to Jerusalem.
All right. Thank you. Is there one more? Right.
I think God answers all prayers. He either says no, he says grow, or go. Well, these answers
are that's good. Yeah, that's... That's good. The Lord bless you. Thank you for being here this morning. Please join us if you can on the patio for the second part, which is the fellowship part. Bless you. Thanks.